على الفلاح على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
صف سيدي فرمائي الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله سبحانه وتعالى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Respected brothers, as we have mentioned before, we made an announcement on Friday that inshallah from today until the next 3 weeks, inshallah from now on for three weeks, we are going to be very fortunate to have and host Sheikh Dawood, inshallah Abdallah. Sheikh Dawood traveling, and inshallah he will be delivering Aqeedah workshop every Monday and Tuesday, this week, next week and the week after. This is a great opportunity for all of us, alhamdulillah. So we humbly requesting everyone to please remain seated and listen to Sheikh, learn, enjoy, and subhanallah, correct our beliefs, which is the most important aspect of our deen. Sheikh Dawood is the founder of the Sheikhul Akbar Institute, and he is specializing in Aqeedah, Hanafi Fiqh, and the Islamic sciences. MashaAllah, Sheikh will be here with us for the next 3 weeks. I'm humbly requesting everyone to please remain seated, listen to Sheikh, and learn and enjoy. Mere bhaiyo, jaise ki humne pehle arz kiya hai ki Sheikh Dawood hamare yahan 3 hafte tak, Monday aur Tuesday, hafte mein 2 din, Aqeedah workshop aur course deliver karenge, inshallah English zuban mein. Aap sab hazrat se guzarish hai ki sab hazrat tashreef rakhe aur apne aqaid ko durust karein. اللہ تعالیٰ کے ساتھ اور اللہ کے پیارے رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے ساتھ جو ہمارے عقائد ہونا چاہیے جو کہ سب سے ہماری دین کا بنیادی کیا ہے وہ ستون اور پلر ہے تو ہمارے لیے بہترین موقع ہے کہ ہم شیخ داؤد کے ساتھ انشاءاللہ ان چیزوں کو سیکھ سکیں گے آپ حضرات کے پاس چانس بھی ہوگا اگر آپ کے کچھ سوالات ہوں گے تو انشاءاللہ شیخ داؤد ان کا جواب بھی دیں گے یو ول ہیو این اپرچونیٹی ٹو آسک شیخ ڈائریکٹلی انشاءاللہ تعالیٰ You can ask questions and inshallah your questions will be answered. So please remain seated. The first session will be delivered today after the remaining dua. Next one will be tomorrow. Again, next week, Monday and Tuesday. And finally, the week after Monday and Tuesday. 6 sessions, inshallah. So please listen, learn and enjoy. Jazakumullah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا برحمتك يا قريب قريب آ جاؤ بھائی سارے ساتھی
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. وأفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا. إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذريته وأهل بيته وعلماء أمته وعلينا معهم أجمعين. اللهم إنا نستهديك لأرشد أمرنا وزدنا علما ينفعنا. So الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us here on this blessed day of Tarwiyah, this blessed day of 8th of Dhul Hijjah, to learn about Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and what is necessary for Him, what is impossible for Him, what is permissible for Him, as well as His blessed prophets alayhi salatu wassalam. So Mufti Abdullah, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he asked me to read something simple and short regarding the Aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the masjid. Even though I'm not Ahl for that, you have, mashallah, Mufti Salih, you have many ulama in this masjid. But imtithalan lil amr, I agreed to read something. What I thought I'd start with was the hadith which is known amongst the ulama as Ummul Hadith, the mother of all hadith, the foundation of all hadith, which is also known as Hadith Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال بينما نحن جالسون عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ذات يوم. So once we were sat, one day we were sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذْ طَلَعَ عَلَيْنَا رَجُلٌ شَدِيدُ بَيَادِ الثِّيَابِ. A man came into Medina extremely white clothes. وَشَدِيدُ سَوَادِ الشَّعْرِ. An extremely black hair. The ulama mentioned, why did he mention this? Because they didn't, and he also says, لَا يُرَى عَلَيْهِ أَثْرُ السَّفَرِ وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ أَحَدٌ Minna, أو منا أحد, that none of his, no travel was seen on his clothes, on his person, and none of us knew him. So here the ulama mention that this shows that he's a stranger, yet he's all in white, he's extremely black, not disheveled, no dust, no sand or anything in his beard to show that he traveled there, yet none of us knew him. So this was strange to start with. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is telling us this was strange to start with. Nobody knew him, yet he didn't look like a traveler. He says, Rahimullah radiallahu anhu, حَتَّى جَلَسَ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So he came right up and sat in front of the Prophet صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ. وَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ. and he placed his knees against the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which actually I should have started with, but I'm getting old now, so my knees hurt. But alhamdulillah, that he puts his knees to the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَوَضَعَ كَفَيْهِ أَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ, and he placed his hands on his thighs. The ulama, they say, was it the thighs of the Prophet or his own thighs? The rajih opinion is that it was on his own thighs. And this is also showing us how a student is with his teacher. I'm sat in front of my teacher, so I have to be very careful. So how we sit with our teachers is with the utmost of adab. مَا فَازَ مَنْ فَازَ إِلَّا بِالْأَدَبِ. None was successful of the successful people except with good attitude, good etiquette, good manners. So he says, he continues, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who continues, وَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ صلى الله عليه وسلم, O Muhammad, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ, tell me about Islam. What is Islam? And as we know, linguistically, Islam is أَسْلَمَ يُسْلِمُ إِسْلَامًا, is to submit. And so that's linguistically. So he's asking him, tell me about Islam. What is Islam in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So the blessed messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, الْإِسْلَامُ أَن تَشْهَدَ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam is to bear witness, is to testify that there is no God but Allah, and that Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ, and to establish the prayer. وَتُؤْتِيَ الزَّكَاةِ, and to pay the zakat. وَتَصُومَ رَمَضَانِ, and to fast the Ramadan. وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتَ إِنْ إِسْتَطَعْتَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا, and to do the hajj to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Kaaba, if one can get there. And we know, we study in fiqh, which we'll talk about, that all the conditions to make it fard for someone to do hajj once in a lifetime. قَالَ صَدَقْتَ. The man, this man, who as of yet we don't know who he is, this man replied, "You are correct." Imagine, he comes to the Rasulullah ﷺ, asks a question. Sayyidina Rasul ﷺ answers. The man asking the question says, you're correct. So what did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? فَعَجِبْنَا لَهُ, yani, we found that strange. يَسْأَلْ وَيُصَدِّقُهُ, he asks and then says, you're correct. So Sayyidina Umar said, we found that strange. قال, so then the man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ الْإِيمَانِ, so then now tell me about faith. What is Iman? قال, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر. To believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, to believe in His books, and to believe in the final day, yani the day of judgment. وتؤمن, and then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم added, and to believe بالقدر خيره وشره, to believe in destiny, the good of it and the bad of it. The ulama mentioned here, and tu'min, the Prophet ﷺ added again, rather than just saying wa yawm al-akhir or wa al-qadr, he said wa tu'min bil-qadr, to highlight the importance and the secret of qadr, that it's important that we believe in that. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is qadr? Don't worry, we'll talk about all of this. But this is as an introduction to us, so we can see where is aqidah in Islam. Qala sadaqt. He said again, you've told the truth, you are correct. قَالْ فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ. So now tell me about ihsan. Yani you could translate that as perfection. You could translate it as. There are many different translations. Ihsan is such an encompassing word. We're not here to just study the hadith. This hadith is an introduction. Inshallah, Mufti Saleh, inshallah, in the future, will this hadith, like I said, it's Ummul Hadith. Who can tell me what's Ummul Quran? Who can tell me Ummul Quran? The mother of Qur'an. Which is the mother of Qur'an? Excellent answer. What is it? Surah Al-Fatiha. The mother of the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. So we can see how important is Surah Al-Fatiha to us. Every day we recite it so many times in our salah, in our prayers, in our du'as. Fatiha is so important. Every Muslim has memorized Al-Fatiha. Every Muslim has memorized Al-Fatiha. And it's called Ummul Quran. This hadith, because of its importance in the hadith collection, is called Ummul Hadith. That's how important this hadith is, as we'll see at the end. The Prophet ﷺ tells Sayyidina Umar who it was and why he was here. We'll see why it's so important. So this is why I started with this hadith. It's such an important pillar of our deen, as we'll see. So the third question, mal ihsan. What is perfection? What is ihsan? The Prophet ﷺ replied, "An ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, wa in lam takun tarahu fa innahu yaraq." It is to what? To worship Allah as if you see Him. And the ulama, they explained that this is what's called maqam al-mushahada, the level of witnessing Allah. And we see later, this hadith is found in many, as we're going to mention, it's narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, but Imam Nawawi brings it in his Arba'een. And Imam Nawawi mentions at the beginning of his Arba'een al-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, that the hadith he's chosen are all pillars of our deen. They're all pillars of our deen. And so here, later on, you'll see in Arba'een an-Nawawi, inshallah, I think it's hadith 37, if I remember correctly, the Prophet ﷺ explains to us in hadith Qudsi, what does it mean to worship Allah as if you see Him? Where the Prophet ﷺ informed us of the hadith Qudsi. So the hadith Qudsi, it's from Allah, but the wording's from the Prophet ﷺ. Whereas the Qur'an, it's from Allah, and the wording's from Allah. So hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ آذَانِ وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever harms my wali, I have declared war on him. And then, that the slave continues to draw nearer to me only through the fard. مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُ عَلِيْ. From what I've made fard on him. Then he continues to draw nearer to me بِالنَّوَافِلِ. With voluntary acts. First is fard. Until when? حَتَّى أُحِبَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. We establish the fard, which means staying away from haram. Then we continue adding extra actions of nawafil once we've established the fard. Notice the order. Until what? Hatta uhibba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, until I love Him. May Allah make us of those with afiyah, ya Rabb. Then what? Then I become the eyes with which He sees. I become the ears with which He hears. I become the tongue with which He speaks, to the end of the hadith. So here, what does that mean? We become Allah, a'udhu billah. That means that now we are witnessing bi shuhudillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything we see the sifat, the attributes of Allah, that Allah is creating this. Huwa rafi' subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the beautiful written around the masjid. He is the raiser of rank. Huwa khafid. He's the debaser subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that in creation. So we're witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation in his creative entity, his power in creation. So here, أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَهُ. To worship Allah as if you see Him. That's maqam al-mushahada, the station of witnessing. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatan lil alameen, so many of us won't reach that level. May Allah give us tawfiq. وَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يُرَاكُ. And if you can't reach that level, the Prophet ﷺ answers the man that's asking, that you can't see him, then know that he sees you. And this is the maqam of muraqabah, that you have that. And my Hazrat rahimullah ta'ala, Sayyidina Shaykh Imam Ismail Wadi sahab rahimullah ta'ala wa radiyallahu anhu, he used to tell us before going to sleep, do hisab of yourself. Do hisab of yourself and know that Allah sees you at all times. Rahimahullah ta'ala. And all of anything that I know it's from his du'as. Anything that I've been blessed with, and I've been blessed to sit with the giants, Hazrat is my Hazrat, always. And those of us that were blessed, I didn't understand how blessed I was to sit with him until I went to study. And he
He was this. أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى. رحمه الله تعالى. He was the nur of nur, or he is the nur of nur of Islam. There's no doubt about that in my heart. Allah blesses through him, always. So the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. And if you can't reach that level of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that He sees you. He knows your search history. He knows your phone and what people get up to in the dead of the night. He knows the eyes and where they're looking. He knows what we're thinking. And we should control this with our children. We should teach them. This is what we should do with our children. Teach them that muraqabah. Teach them that Allah knows. Allah sees. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. If you slip, we don't believe in original sin, right? We're Muslims. There's no original sin. What do we say? We say original forgiveness. Huh? There's original forgiveness. You slip? Ya Allah, I slipped. Atubu ilay. Huwa tawwabur rahim, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The off returning to us and the merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is instilled in our children from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, again, no one can hear it. I've got nowhere to... There? Should I clip it to my beard? So then, قَالَ صَدَقْتُ. Again, the man, the questioner says, you told the truth. You are correct. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Tell me when is the final hour. Tell me when is the final hour. قَالَ مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. The one being asked is not more knowledgeable than the one asking. فَقَالَ فَأَخْبِرْنِي أَنْ أَمَارَتِهَا. So then tell me about its signs. What are the signs of the hour? قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَعَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ أَنْ تَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا. That the slave woman will give birth to her master. We're not going to, this is again, this is not an explanation of the hadith, this is an introduction into aqidah. So, وَأَنْ تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. That you see these naked, barefooted shepherds competing with each other to build tall buildings. صَدَقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. ثُمَّ انْطَلَقَ. Sayyidina Umar continues, then the questioner left. فَلَبِثْنَا مَرِيًا. So we sat for a while. ثُمَّ قَالْ يَا عُمَرْ. Look at Sayyidina Rasul. يَا عُمَرْ. That's my son, Umar. يَا عُمَرْ. O Umar. أَتَدْرِي مَنِ السَّائِلِ. Do you know who the questioner was? And look at the answer of Sayyidina Umar. He could have guessed. He could have said, well, I think, I pontificate, I ponder, I maybe... He just said the answer of the Sahaba. Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. We don't know anything. قال إنه فإنه جبريل. Sayyidina Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, certainly that was Jibreel. أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. He came to teach you your deen. This is the shahid. This is the point I want to mention here. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned there at the end, أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He came to teach you your deen. So our deen is surmised, is encompassed in these four questions. All of our deen is contained in summation in these four questions. What is Islam? What is Iman? What is Ihsan? And the signs of the hour. Each one, the ulama have gone to extensive, rigorous research from Quran and Sunnah to present these four to us. Islam, we noticed the answer was what? أن تؤمن بالله. أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. To bear witness that there's no God but Allah and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the messenger of Allah. And that's the condition of all the that come afterwards. A non-Muslim could pray five times a day. He could pray 100 times a day. it's going to be nothing until he believes in La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. It will benefit him nothing on the Day of Judgment. So the first thing is to be a believer. Then we're taqim as-salah to the end of what he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ulama said this now, Islam in this context means fiqh. It contains within it our fiqh. And so the ulama, they teach us, the Prophet ﷺ said, تُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ مِنْ إِقَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ الْوُضُوء. To establish the prayer is learning how to make wudu, how to make ghusl, how to do istinja, to cover the nakedness and all the conditions of the prayer and all the things that are linked to that. The arkan, the wajibat, the mustahabbat, all of these things are contained within this. The ulama looked at this hadith with Quran and Sunnah, and so fiqh. What is fiqh? I'm new to wearing glasses, so I'm still getting used to putting them in places. What is fiqh? If we look at the body of fiqh, it's basically human interaction. In ibadat, it's our interaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either through body, with salah, or and fasting, obviously leaving things that we can't do, that we could normally do. Or with money, zakah, or with both, hajj. Then we have what? We have marriage and divorce. So that's interaction, halal, between a man and a woman or women. How to deal with that, that's contained in fiqh. Then we have the qadi, the judge, how he deals with people that come to him and complain. All this is in fiqh. So all of this is what the ulama says from Islam. From our Prophet ﷺ explaining this. So fiqh is interaction, either between Allah or between human beings, whether it be a man and a woman interaction, halal and haram, whether it be the qadi with the people coming to him with complaints, whether it be the ruler of the Muslims, the khalifa, how he deals with the people under him, how he deals with other countries, all of that's ask Mufti Sahib, mashallah, Mufti Sahib here, all of that's contained in fiqh. Then the ulama mentioned al-Islam. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? And tu'minu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi ila, to believe in Allah and his angels and his books. They said that this science is aqidah. This is contained. The ulama now looked at the Quran and the Sunnah, and they extracted the rulings of how now what the Muslims believe, and that's why aqidah is what is related to the intellect, fiqh related to the body. Right? Interactions. Aqidah is related to the intellect. That's why aqidah is what some of my teachers have called it, correct thinking regarding Allah. Right? Allah's not three. Allah doesn't have a son. Allah's not up in the sense of a direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in his creation, nor is he out of his creation. Laysa kamithlihi shay', Allah tells us in the Quran. Nothing's like Allah. He's like nothing. And say, it's reported from Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, كُلُّ مَا خَطَرَ بِبَالِكَ فَهُوَ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. Everything that crosses your mind about Allah, and we'll discuss this more, obviously, we're going to talk about Aqidah quite a bit. Everything that crosses your mind is other than that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Iman, the ulama say that's related to Aqidah. So it's related to our mind. We say what? The human being is what? Mind, body, and soul. Right? And we always hear from people that Islam is complete way of life. It's not a religion in the sense that the non-Muslims use that word. It's a deen. And if you look in the definition of what is deen, it's much more than religion. Our whole life, from even the Sahaba used to boast, yes, we follow him in everything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even going to the toilet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our whole life is by him. And that's why the ulama, they mention, in Arabic, beautiful language, Arabic. Everybody should learn Arabic. It's the language of the Ummah. They said the three letters, many thulathi mujarrad, that many words in Arabic are made up of three letters. So we have Ayn, we have Mim, and we have Lam. Depending on which way you order those letters, you have Ilm, knowledge. That comes first, Ilm. After Ilm, then what? Same three letters, amal. Change them around a bit, you've got amal, action. There's no action without knowledge. For a Muslim, you can't get married unless you've sat with Mufti Sahib and said to him, how do I get married? And more importantly, how do I stay married? Huh? How many times do people come to you, I said this to my wife, and I did this, and did I divorce her? Am I married? Am I not? So there's no, I use marriage as an example, because I see lots of youth here. May Allah, all those that are not married, Allah bless you with marriage. All those that are married, may Allah keep us married. Ameen. I'm not going to make any other du'as. The women are listening at home. Allah bless us all. Ameen. When shakartum. We also do shukr for our wives. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama, they mentioned that we have ilm first. Then based on sound knowledge, we have amal. What happens if we base our amal using the same three letters? What happens if we base our actions on sound knowledge? Lama. Illumination. Because we illuminated with the nur of the amal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he's Habibullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everything he did, everything he said, is beloved to Allah. And so we base our whole life on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't pray, for those of us here that are Hanafis, we don't follow Imam Abu Hanifa because he's Imam Abu Hanifa. We don't follow Imam Shafi'i because he's Imam Shafi'i. We follow them because they're rightly guided scholars who prayed like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. Who taught us how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. That's why we follow them. If someone asks you, how did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray? You say like this, and you pray as you've learned in your madhab. That's how the Prophet ﷺ prayed. And now they're on Hajj. People are on Hajj where the Prophet ﷺ said, take your manasik from me, take the way you do Hajj from me. And what did he say about Salah? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you see me pray. And here, just a slight into that statement and how it's mercy. Notice the Prophet ﷺ said, pray as you see me pray. He didn't say, pray as I pray. How can we pray as he prayed? How can we have that ma'rifah, that gnosis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he had? How can we have that khushu' that he had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So out of mercy to us, he said, pray as you see me pray. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, al-Iman in the hadith of al-Hadith, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, al-Iman, the ulama have said, this is now what we call in the nomenclature, aqeedah. What do we believe? Taken from Quran and Sunnah. What do we believe? Now we have to codify it. The Sahaba, they witnessed it. Sayyidina Umar, he witnessed Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. He heard the questions and the answers. We weren't that lucky. But we hear the words that have been passed down to us. And many of the ulama said this hadith is mutawatir. Narrated by many, many of the Sahaba. Yani, either mutawatir in ma'na or the Hanafis, it would be mashhoor. Many of the ulama, at the very least, it's sahih. So this hadith is very important. And so the ulama, just like the Sahaba, they took how they saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pray and they taught it on. The Sahaba taught what they knew from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about beliefs as well. And it's in our Quran and Sunnah. So these things, they're not from random, it's not from the philosophers of the Greeks, it's not from the Hindus and the Buddhists. This is all from Quran and Sunnah. And the ulamas will discuss when we talk about aqidah, the ulama, based upon the Quran and Sunnah. Everything we're going to discuss is based in Quran and Sunnah, but they grounded it also in the intellect. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ. Know that there is no God but Allah. And ilm is related to our intellect. And so then with ihsan, أَخْبِرْنِي أَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ is to worship Allah as if you see Him. And so the ulama, they say this science, the science of ihsan, is called tasawwuf. It's about reaching the level of polishing the heart with our actions based on the Prophet's actions until we witness Allah. Or that at least we know constantly that Allah is watching us. And so that's it. If people don't like the word tasawwuf, in our time, some people don't like this word tasawwuf. Okay, don't call it tasawwuf, call it what the Prophet ﷺ called it, al-ihsan. Or call it tazkiyah, the word in the Quran. Okay? Yani, what did they say? Al-ibra bil-ma'ani la bil-mabani. It's about the meanings, not what you call it. Right? If you don't like the name, okay, let's look at the reality. So here, ihsan, the ulama have said that equates now to the science of tasawwuf, which is a science that you study. And inshallah, maybe in the future, we can talk about what is tasawwuf and the importance of it. Because that's the ruh, right? The body, fiqh. The mind, aqidah. The ruh, tasawwuf. Right? How to perfect that ruh. And the ulama mentioned from them, Imam Ghazali and others, all the ulama mentioned this, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Isa, rahimahullah ta'ala, all of the ulama, they say that the science of tasawwuf, to purify ourselves, is fardi ayn. Fardi ayn. Because ria, and my teacher, Shaykh Muwaffaq al-Marabi, hafizullah ta'ala, from his teachers said that every sin of the heart is from the kaba'ir. Ria, hiqd, hasad, all of these from the kaba'ir. So imagine someone's a faqih. What is a faqih going to do? Well, don't worry, we're going to come to aqidah. Don't worry. The faqih, he's going to look at your outward of your prayer. You know, you put your, for the Hanafis, you place your, and the Hanbalis. The Hanafis and the Hanbalis, you place your hands below your navel, right? You recite the Fatiha, you recite Surah afterwards or whatnot for the, and he's going to say your prayer is perfect. The faqih. Because he's looking at your actions. The Sufi, the Sheikh of the heart, he's going to say, where were you? In your mind. Where was your khushu'? Where was your reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Were you thinking about Kimanans? I remember Mufti Saleh once mentioning Kimanans in the old masjid from Hafiz Fulat, rahimahullah ta'ala.
This is why it's in my mind.
So are you thinking about, you know, my insurance is due on my car? Are you thinking about, did I park properly? Are you thinking about your child? Are you with Allah? No? So the scholar of the heart, he's going to ask, see where is your heart in your prayer. And the ulama say, at least start with the tahrima, the takbir at the beginning, that you're completely focused, that you're praying to Allah. So start with it, and with the salam, you're completely focused on Allah. And start with those two. And then work your way up. All of you, mashallah, are a great awliya. I'm talking to myself here. Okay? So that's ihsan. And then the final question, the signs of the hour, the ulama mentioned, that's about knowing how to live in the environment that we're living in regards to the fitan that are around us. And so the ulama have written many books on this also. Okay, so this is the hadith of Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam. So we can see here what we're going to focus on is the intellect. Okay? But don't worry, it's very basic. This is introduction to aqidah. And what this class is not about, you're not going to be here to debate. We're not here to refute so-and-so, this group, that group. That's not what we're here for. We're basing it on the sunnah, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is what they've agreed upon, that these sifat, from the sifat of Allah, from the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what we need to know. Okay? So, aqidah, what we believe, is fardi ayn. Meaning, as we're going to see, every legally responsible person must know this. What is a legally responsible person? In aqidah, it's a sane adult, meaning someone that's reached baligh, who's balugh, right? Who's baligh, he's reached balugh. In aqidah. In fiqh, we had Muslim. But in aqidah, everyone that's sane and everyone that's baligh has to know this. Okay? Has to know this. Fardi ayn. So the book that we're going to be going through is a very basic introduction by Imam al-Bajuri, Imam Ibrahim al-Bajuri, who was a great scholar. He was a Shafi'i of Madhab. He was based in Egypt, rahimullah ta'ala. And he wrote this as a very basic introduction that is taught to children. Okay, we're all children. So this is how we're starting off, just to as an introduction. He wrote many books. He has a commentary on the Shama'il of Imam al-Tirmidhi, for example. He has commentaries on books of other books of Aqidah, longer books of Aqidah. He wrote many commentaries on books of grammar, Arabic grammar, and Shafi'i fiqh, and things like this. And so the ulama, they mention that when starting any science, we'll quickly go through this, they said that what's called muqaddimatul ilm, right? Which is like the introduction to any science. We're going to whiz through this because, like I said, I want to keep it as simple as possible. But إِنَّ مَبَادِي كُلِّ فَنِّنْ عَشَرَ الْحَدُّ وَالْمُضُوعُ ثُمَّ الثَّمَرَةُ. Okay? So every beginning of every science, there are 10 things that the ulama will go through. Al-had, defining something. Right? To define something. That's very important. Because you could, for example, I'll give you an example why defining things is important. Someone might come to you and say, I don't believe in God. Okay? The first question we ask is, what don't you believe in? Who is God to you? They say, well, I don't believe there's a man with a big white beard, sat on a cloud with a thunderbolt in his hand. We'll say, well, we don't believe in that either. So you could be arguing, no, you must believe in God. He's your creator. But his concept, his definition of God, we don't believe in that either. And so defining things and knowing what we're talking about is really important, so we're on a level playing field. Okay? So Haddu al-Mudu'a, the subject matter. What are we going to be talking about? The topic. So the definition of what we're going to be studying is that this is a knowledge that establishes our beliefs through proofs. Proofs from the Quran and Sunnah, although this book doesn't go into them for any of them, of the book or the PDF of this book, and inshallah, tomorrow we'll have it up, that door. But the proofs, the ulama, when you're talking to Muslims, it's enough to say, Allah says, قُلُّ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, Allah is one. We're believers. That's enough for us, in terms of talking to each other. But the ulama, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, do they not use their intellects? Do they not think? أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ, do they not ponder? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, know with certainty here, fa'lam. And here obviously it's an order, it's a fi'l amr, which yufid al wujub. It means, it's like I said, fardi ayn. We have to. So the ulama didn't suffice with naqli proofs only, textual proofs. They're there. But they strengthen the believers, and all of us, alhamdulillah, I don't, but all of you live in non-Muslim lands. And you're all dealing with non-Muslims, dealing the internet nowadays, it's filled with all attacks on Islam, attacks on the belief of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the ulama safeguarding us, because that's their job, because they're inheritors of the prophets and our prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So their job is to save our iman, to guard our iman. So the ulama, using the Quran and Sunnah, came up with rational proofs. And that's why the ulama mentioned that we have to know a basic rational proof for all of these attributes that we're going to go through. Fardi ayn. That we must know, and don't worry, I'll give you an example of a basic rational proof that's enough to take us out of sin. Because fardi ayn, if we don't know it, we're sinful. If someone says to you, what's the proof Allah exists? Just to answer this whole world is a proof, that takes you out of sin. Al-alam in Arabic, it's one of the meanings is al-alam, yani the sign or something high that stands out. So the what is this alam? It's the proof, it's an indicator that Allah exists. So how is it a proof? That's getting into some tafsir, that's some detail. And the ulama say that's only needed if there are doubtful matters that come up. Right? So someone puts doubt in someone's heart. Then we need to go into some detail. And that's why that's fard kifaya. Right? That somebody must have these detailed proofs. There must be scholars. So if doubts creep in, somebody comes to you. And trust me, alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed me to be teaching for many years. And alhamdulillah, I teach in Canada, in Australia, in America, in Turkey, in Syria, alhamdulillah, because the internet is open, so all over the world. Just the other day, a brother, he's hafidh al-Quran. His brothers left Islam. May Allah return him. Why? He has doubts in the existence of God. He's gone through maktab. He's gone through madrasa system. He came to me and told me, Dawood, when I listen to your talk, when I listen to your lesson on aqidah, I teach basic aqidah also, there's a madrasa in Canada that I teach for. He said, you change my life. Not me, this is the books. Forget me, I'm just the vehicle. Because they don't teach this, he said. They don't teach this in maktab. They don't teach this in madrasa. But when I listened to your lesson on aqidah, the whole book, he said it was like, this is his words, this was just the other day. He said it was like Allah subhanahu, my heart was encrusted in a thick encrustation. And then when I heard your lessons and I followed your lessons, it was like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed everything from my heart. It opened. And this, again, this is not me. This is taken from my teachers. This is what's in our books. But people, they yushakkikun fi wujudillah. They put doubt in people's hearts about the existence of Allah. When, this is a very basic course, like I said, but it's enough. I see these kind of books as like, we've all gone through COVID, right? This like the luqah. Vaccine. No, I forget. My monkey's tummy. Don't forget English. It's like a vaccine. It protects you from these things. So if we teach our children, when their brains start to develop, 8, 9, 10, and then when they're 12 and they become baligh for boys and 9 if possible for girls, then they get a little bit more detail because now they're intellects. Somebody tells them, oh, it's I don't believe in the existence of God, how this world, it just by accident. They already have in their minds, no. You know, Malisab, he said that there's a proof because da-da-da. It's a vaccine. It protects them. They might need to go back and have a booster, right? The NHS keep giving you boosters, right? You might have to go and sit with the scholar and get a little bit more detail. But you know there's instant. No, there is proof. No, it's rationally, right? We know. But if it's not there and these attacks come, people's minds, like I said, this brother, he came to me, my brother left Islam, and he was raised in a Muslim house. He's Hafiz. They've been through the madrasa system, but they're not taught. And so this is the importance of going through. So here, the definition of aqidah, like I said, it's related to the intellect. Tasawwuf, ihsan, is related to the ruh. So all we're going to be doing with aqidah is correct thinking regarding Allah. You want to increase in your iman, sit with Mufti Sab, do like dhikr, do good actions. That's tasawwuf's job, to strengthen our iman. Aqidah corrects our thinking. Okay, so it's not here to increase iman. And in fact, when you get, for the ulama here, when you study ilm al-kalam, this is aqidah, it's not ilm al-kalam. When you study ilm al-kalam, the ulama recommend that after studying, go and do some dhikr when you're alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because like any topic, when you study it, it becomes a topic of study. And this is our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not a topic with which we study. But because the ulama need to know these things and you get into discussions of this and that, they say go and do some dhikr. Imam Sanusi mentions this also. Do some dhikr afterwards, just to bring, in case any lack of ta'zeem, just to bring that ta'zeem, that veneration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala back. We're not studying ilm al-kalam, we're just doing aqidah. But here, the definition of this science is that it brings about knowledge and rational proofs in what we believe regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also regarding the prophets. The topic, obviously, the topic of this science that we're studying is, yani they say the mawdu', translated as topic, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's essence and his attributes. In the sense, and we'll discuss this more detail, don't worry, what's necessary for Allah, what's impossible for Allah, and what's possible for Allah. I'm going to give you an example so you're not left with these words. To some of us, these words might be new. What's, yani when I say wajib for Allah, I don't mean like witr, right? Same word, different meaning, okay? Wajib in fiqh, for the Hanafis, it's that less than fard, right? There's some shubha in the dalil, but we can't make it fard, but it's wajib. Okay, that's fiqh. That's not Allah. There's nothing to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? When we say wajib for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say rationally necessary. I'll give you an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence is rationally necessary. What does that mean? He has to exist. And we'll talk about the proof when we get to it. Okay? So when we say wajib lillah, we mean he's necessarily existent, meaning he can't go out of existence. And again, we'll talk about this in detail a little bit because it's important. Because the non-Muslims, especially the ones that have enmity towards us, they'll say to people, for example, okay, Allah is all-powerful, right? We'll say, yeah, he's all-powerful. Okay, if he's all-powerful, a'udhu billah, can he go out of existence? He's all-powerful. And if you say, no, he can't go out of existence, this is tricky. This is what they call sofsati, sophistry. Okay, then he's not all-powerful because he can't take himself out of existence. Okay? Or they'll say, can Allah create a stone so heavy he can't lift it? A'udhu billah. Right? And the reason I'm mentioning these things is because most of you are on the internet and you'll all hear these things in university, at college, at work. And the answers are there. The ulama have answered these with simple, it's a simple answer. Just by knowing what's called hukum aqli, which we'll deal with in the next lesson tomorrow, what's their rational ruling? Right? And Imam Ghazali, who's called what? What's his title, Imam Ghazali's title? Hujjatul Islam. What does Hujjatul Islam mean? The proof of Islam. That's how great he was, his title. Right? He said that if someone doesn't know the rational ruling, hukum aqli, laysa bi aqil. He has no intellect. Right? Don't worry. That's not the correct opinion, but it's important to know. Right? He says if you don't know it, so what is that? We'll discuss that tomorrow in detail, inshallah. And then it'll be easier for us to go through this book because you'll know these rulings. So when we say that this is necessary for Allah, we say his existence is necessary, which means he can't go out of existence. Okay? Because he's the necessary being. Talk about that tomorrow. So that's what we're going to be discussing here in regarding. And what's impossible for Allah? The opposite, to go out of existence. That's impossible for Allah. He's wajib al-wujud, necessarily existent. Therefore, it's impossible for him to go out of existence. We'll come with a proof for that tomorrow. Okay? That's why they say the rational proofs are important. The Quran is based in Quran and Sunnah. There's no doubt. The proof for us as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he exists. Allah says he's all-powerful. That's enough for us. But to stop these doubts, we go into a rational proof. So that's, and also the same with the messengers. What's necessary for them? What's impossible for them? What's permissible for them? Etc, etc. What's the thamara, the result, the fruit of this science, is that we have correct thinking regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based in Quran and Sunnah and rational proofs. Okay, based in Quran, Sunnah and rational proofs, which means when we believe in that, the reward is Jannah. The benefit or the merit, وَفَضْلُهُ, the benefit, the merit of this science, as all sciences, anyone that studied the sciences, every scholar says this, it's the best of sciences. Every science you study, in fiqh, in aqidah, in nahu, in tafsir, in hadith, in tasawwuf, they'll all say it's the best of sciences. Why? Because it is. They're all important. So this science is one of the noblest of sciences because why? The mawdu', the topic we're talking about, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all. So what's the ascription, the nisbah? Yani, this is a foundational science that precedes everything else. And a point I neglected to mention regarding coming back to the hadith of Sayyidina Jibreel. Notice the answer, this is for the ulama as well. Notice the answer the Prophet ﷺ gave about the question of ihsan. What is ihsan? What was the answer? An ta'bud Allah. Just take that. Ta'bud, where does that go back to? Islam. Allah, where does that go back to? Iman. كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى, that's ihsan. So by indication, by inference, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us there's no tasawwuf. There's no ihsan without aqidah and fiqh. Without fiqh and aqidah. And ta'bud Allah. How can you worship if you don't know how? How can you worship Allah if you don't know who He is? So there's no ihsan without Islam and Iman. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. So here, that's the nisbah, is everything. It's so important, like I said at the beginning, if someone doesn't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and His finality, the finality of His prophethood sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then everything else is worthless. Someone can sit all day saying Allahu, Allahu, saying salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all day. Like I said, they could stand in prayer all day. If they don't believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's worthless. The founder of this science, first, the science, notice, as a subject that we study, our iman, our aqidah is from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But like all sciences, they developed in order for it to be codified so that then it can be taught. Just like there was no sahih hadith at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The word sahih in relation to the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't exist. Why? They heard it directly from him. They didn't need a chain of narrators. That was developed later by the ulama in order to get rid of the liars, to get rid of people with bad memories, to get people that made mistakes. So this nomenclature came later. Like in fiqh also. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like I said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you see me pray. Did he say this is fard, this is wajib, this is sunnah, this is mustahab? Directly, no. But the ulama came and inferred from the Quran and from the vast hadith of the Prophet ﷺ what is necessary for the prayer. If you don't do it, your prayer is broken. What is not necessary for the prayer, so if you do it, you can do sajda sahu at the end, for example, and your prayer is okay. All of that came later on. It developed. Same with aqidah, right? How is it passed on? So the need for this came when deviant beliefs started to come, when Islam spread to non-Muslim countries and they met other people that believed in other things, the scholars saw the need. Okay, now we need to codify what is Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What is the belief of the Prophet ﷺ and the Jama'ah? Okay? What is that belief? And so they codified that. They codified that. And so we have many imams. The main three that the ulama talk about, it's not limited to these three. The main three that the ulama talk about are Imam Abu al-Hasan, al-Ash'ari, and Abu al-Mansur al-Maturidi. And then we have also Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Right? That's his title, Imam Ahlus Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Why? Because he stood strong against deviancy. So these three codified. And Imam al-Tahawi also, because he's from that same era, of the latter two I mentioned. So the name of this science, they call it ilm al-tawheed, they call it aqidah, ilm al-kalam. Imam Abu Hanifa called it what? Al-fiqh al-akbar. Right? The greatest, if you want to translate it literally, the greatest understanding. Right? The fiqh, the greatest fiqh. Why? Because we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beliefs. So it has many names. The sources, like I said, are from the text, the Quran and Sunnah, and also from the rationale of the ulama when they came and brought the proofs. The hukum shar'i, what is the hukum of learning this? I said, aqidah fardi ayn. Ilm al-kalam fard kifahi. Aqidah is fardi ayn. Everybody must learn this. The masail are, like I said, what's necessary for Allah, what's impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what's and in relation to the prophets also, and that's the issues that are covered within وَالْبَعْدُ بِالْبَعْدِ اِكْتَفَى. Right, and some just mention one or two or three without going into all the 10 of these beginning of sciences. So the author starts the book by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how long is left? Shall we stop for dua? We'll stop here because I know some people are fasting, mashallah. Today as well, and also tomorrow we'll start the actual book inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll introduce what, like I've talked about, what does it mean necessary, what does it mean impossible, what does it mean possible. We'll talk about these things because it's very important as a foundation, and then we'll talk about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself. Are there any questions related to the topic? Not random questions. I don't know the name of the dog of Ahlul Kahf. Thank you. تفضل. نعم. We'll discuss that tomorrow, inshallah. Yeah, we'll discuss that tomorrow. These are defined. When I give you the examples, it'll become clearer what is mean. So, for example, 1 plus 1 has to equal 2. That's a necessary ruling. So it's not just related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we talk about rational rulings, the part of something in existence has to be smaller than its whole in existence. Because mathematics, you can do all kinds of crazy things. But in existence, yani fil kharij, what they say, yani outside of the mind, a part of something is necessarily smaller than its whole. So it's not just related to the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rational ruling, which we'll discuss tomorrow. But again, at a basic level, okay? Not on the quantum physics and all this kind of stuff level, inshallah. That's for the higher levels. The ulama talked about this in the mutawwalat of Aqidah. They talked about quantum physics and all of these things. It's all there. These people are catching up to our ulama. It's just that we don't read the books. Any other questions? Okay, inshallah, Mufti Sahib will make dua because he makes beautiful dua, mashallah.
Inshallah, we'll just read the dua of end of majlis in a minute. But this is very, very important. As Sheikh Dawood mentioned, that Hafiz the Quran and his brother left Islam. It's so, so common, my brothers. Recently, there was a janazah. A lady, mashallah, passed away. And all the ghusl and that was done. Son and daughter, ex-Muslims. Son and daughter were born in Muslim family. Can you imagine? Mother, proper Muslim. Son and daughter, ex-Muslims. And these people, they don't have shame now. They openly, you know, go on social media and criticize Islam, criticize the whole system. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Challenges ahead, my brothers. Subhanallah, we were lucky to see our, you know, elders and the way they came and settled in this country and their hard work in bringing us and so on. But now, the time is completely different. We have no control whatsoever over our children. It's living under the same roof, but you don't know whether they're extracting information from. And subhanallah, andar se unke dil ko bilkul, you know the woodworms, jaise wo keeda hota hai, and wo lakde par lag jaye, upar to nazar nahi aa raha hai. Lekin andar se sab wo kha jata hai. Isliye, it's very, very worrying. One thing all of us can do is, which our elders used to do, you know, stay up in the middle of the night, raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cry for our coming generations. Allahu Akbar. If we don't do this, my brothers, there will be atheists in next generations, ex-Muslims and so on. So this is very, very serious, very, very serious. Alhamdulillah, we are so grateful to Sheikh Dawood. And subhanallah, look at this. Yeah? If you invest your time and effort, it takes you to another level. Sheikh Dawood, subhanallah, wasn't born in an Islamic family. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Iman and Islam, subhanallah. I remember those days when, mashallah, our early interaction with him, where, mashallah, huh? Mashallah. And he started with, I feel ashamed that he calls me his teacher. I'm not my brother's. Now he should be other way around. But I remember those days when we used to sit together reading Bahishti Zeva. That was beginning of his journey. And now look, mashallah, the depth of knowledge that he possesses. Amazing. And you know, it gives a sense of reflection. We were born in Muslim family, and yet, Allahu Akbar, I don't want to say much, but all of us, let's try making dua, start making duas for ourselves, for our generations, for our children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all on the straight path. Not just that, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us means of hidayah. Hidayah. My brothers, the world is thirsty, is empty. And on the day of Qiyamah, when everybody will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imagine your neighbors. If they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I didn't know you, but somebody living in my own street, my area, he knew you. He was a Muslim, but he did not make any effort whatsoever to come and talk to me about you. So as I'm being held responsible for my wrongdoing, can you please sort out with him as well? Subhanallah. Sayyidul Ta'ifa, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Nubarallah Marqadahu, Sheikh Ush-Shuyukh. Sheikh was talking about Tasawwuf, Ihsan, Subhanallah, Tazkiyah. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, and so many scholars. Haji Imdadullah Sahib Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi Ali was the Sheikh of all those great Shuyukh. Once he mentioned, if you want to attain the status and the level of Abdal, you know, highest level, in terms of being the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, when you see a janazah of a non-Muslim, when you see somebody died as a non-Muslim, left this world, then sit in a corner. Cry, you know, make conversation between you and your Creator about your failure, about your negligence in guiding somebody to, subhanallah, you know, find the correct path. If you do that, if you have this concern, if you have this worry and feeling in your hearts, continuously you do that, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a heart of gold, subhanallah. His enemies, we know Wahshi, who killed, who mutilated, subhanallah, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, killed Hazrat Hamza. But he put everything aside, thinking about this person's destiny, his next life. My problem with him is different, but his problem is greater than my problem. If I, you know, put my ego aside, if I just help him find the correct way and path, that is, you know, so important for me. And that's why, subhanAllah, he was thinking, what if this, what if that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to convince him. Finally, subhanAllah, he discovered the path of Islam and Iman. So we must make du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever we can do in our capacity. Firstly, we need to bring things into ourselves, into our lives. If we are so rooted in watching, you know, filthy videos and going on different sides, and then we expect that our children, they become awliya Allah, and Allahu Akbar. Maybe Kuja. So first thing first, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. And this is a dua of end of majlis, kafaratul majlis, whatever shortcomings there may be. If you read the dua, and subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlooks everything. So I'm going to read the dua and you follow me. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma. وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. I'm gonna, you know, ask Oasis tomorrow, either you put that mic before Sheikh Dawood or Sheikh holds this mic like this, because many people are listening at home. And if the volume is low, then they can't listen properly. So mashallah, so he's so knowledgeable, so mashallah, this time is so valuable. We need to, you know, benefit the most from his inshallah time. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum.